Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
So I want to go on a little bit further this morning and just ask you a question which I've asked myself this week is, who is in charge of your life? And if you're married, you'll probably say, my husband or my wife. But beyond all those kind of things, or if you're a child, you say it's the parents. But at the end of all of that, who's in charge? Probably a better question to ask in the light of that is, how can I be in the right place at the right time? Probably ask it another way, am I where I should be right now? Not so much geographically, but that may have a small percentage of what we're speaking about this morning, but am I where I need to be in my thinking, in my spirit, relationally? Am I where I need to be at the right time, in the right place? Here's another question. How does God get me to where He needs to get me in life? So if God's got a plan and purpose for my life, how do I know if I'm getting there? And if we want to stand firm in life, I think we've got to get a few of these things nailed down in life so that we know beyond a shadow of doubt that we are where we are now in God's plan and God's purpose, living the life that He has for us. So here's another question I ask myself, where do I need to be? Because there's no, let's get up today, step one, step two, step three, step four. It's kind of directional. Is it destinational? I find that many times where God wants me is, there are destinations, but there's always destinations beyond the destination. What am I saying? There's always more in God. So the plan that God has for us is directional, that we're going in the ways and walking in the paths of God. So here's a question for you today. You know, some people think, oh, I'm not living life the way I should. I'm living a B-grade life. It's B. Because I can't live my A-level life at the moment because of. And I think within our life there is always that thinking that I've got a better life that I could switch into. But, okay, this is my lot in life. I know that there could have been another plan, another purpose, another destiny track, but this is my life now. And then you begin to think about my spouse, my husband. And I believe in marriage. I believe there's got to be mutual respect, mutual love, mutual honor. You can't make a marriage work all by yourself. You may, but it gets very difficult. So in marriage sometimes you just think, oh man, if I just married someone else. Who's ever thought of that? Keep looking ahead and keep breathing. I think we all go through that sometime or other, but because I get people talk to me sometimes and, you know, I'm not talking about abusive relationships at all. I'm just talking about the normal life that we have as a married couple. And you just kind of think, oh, man, I maybe they're not my soulmate, whatever that means. And if I just married someone different, then you begin to think, maybe I didn't marry the person that was perfect for me. Probably a good question. You've got to process that to get to the other side of it, because if you want to marry the perfect person, you know what you'd have to be? The perfect person as well. Which just creates a bit of a dilemma for a couple of us anyway. I believe your spouse becomes the right person when you stand at the altar, you look each other in the eye and you say, and I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. I will. I will. 40 years time. And sometimes we just feel that, man, we're not living the A life because of. Or it could be now you've got kids and you just kind of think, I'd really like the A life, but I've got this B life because I've got children, and not the kids cause B, but it's just the extra pressure that they put on you. You've got their homework, and you've got to do their meals, and you've got to do their lunch and their play lunch, and you've got their sports, and then on weekends you've got parties and all that, and you just kind of think, oh man, if I could really live the A life, but I've got this. And then I got my job. Then you kind of think, I got to do my job, then come home, I got to mow the lawn. It's a B-grade life we feel we are living. And then you get the children who think, man, I've got school, I've got university. Then you go back to the parents again, the mums and the dads, and you know, you've got your lawns, then you got the dishes, then you got to do the washing, then you got to do the ironing. Then you got to clean the house and just think this B-grade life. Man, if I only had the A-grade life. Then we got church. Then we got responsibilities. And we just kind of think, if only. And I'm not too sure how that thinking helps us with standing firm in life, because it puts us in a precarious place of being unsure. We're living this life, but we wish we're living another life. And then we get these questions going backwards and forwards. I'm not sure about my life. I'm not sure where I need to be, what I need to do. So we can live in this unsettled environment where James says that a double-minded man or woman becomes unstable in all of their ways. What if you live too unsure, you can go through seasons of unsure, but if you are consistently unsure, it makes you unstable in all areas of your life. We've got to live life in sureness, believing that God is leading and guiding us. And if He wants me to move to the right or to the left, I've got a sensitive heart that's open to Him. I'll hear a voice and I'll be led and guided by the circumstances or by the impressions of God. And settled in mind, we begin to think, what is my life? How am I to live my life? Who I am in Christ? And we could be led to believe that we have the B-level life. But I like how Paul the Apostle handles this, because I think it's not the dilemma of the few. I think it can be the dilemma of the many, and you need to sometimes to get this sorted out, or you need to all the time get this sorted out. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, I am not ashamed. Who feels that sometimes life can make you ashamed? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman never needs to be ashamed. So if we're doing what we need to do in preparation for the life that we have, and realizing the life we have, we can be as the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed. And how could he say that? Was it because of his education, but because he always did the right thing? No, Paul could say, I'm not ashamed, now hear this, because I know in whom I have believed. He know whom he had believed. He believed in God. He says, I know in whom I have believed. And then he says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He says, I know on whom I believed, and now I'm persuaded. It's taken me a while to get there, but I'm persuaded. I'm totally convinced that God is in charge of my life and He is leading and guiding and directing. I believe He is able to keep my marriage. I believe He's able to keep my children. I believe He's able to keep my future in His hand and it can be unfolded before my eyes. I believe that He is able. So in the light of that, instead of us living, one day I'll start living. At the moment, I've got this B-grade life. One day I'll start living, but if Paul is true in what he's saying, he says, I'm not ashamed. I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded. So I can begin to live now. I just get on with life. I just keep loving. I just keep doing. I just keep turning up the best I can. I just keep turning up. I keep turning up with the best attitude, bringing the best me to the party. What's the chances of just meeting the right people and even me being here today and having the opportunity to pastor this great church? What are the chances? You've got to believe that there's someone in charge of my life that's gone ahead much smarter than I am and He's making the paths that He has for us. Much smarter than I am. He's helping us and talking about me and us, because we've all got our individual track, but as a couple we've got a track, and as a church we've got a track. So he helps us to be identify the mission that He has for us. Not just to make you happy, but you can fulfill the purpose that He has. Because if it was just all about making you happy, you'd never get there, because when you get something, a house or a car, it's okay, but then you want something else. But when you're destination and you're directionally minded and you're leaning towards the purposes of God, all those things are good on the way. But what really makes you happy is that you're knowing you're fulfilling what God has planned for your life. And each one of us can do it. Helping us to see the good life that's unfolding before us. My prayer is, God, help us that we can see that the blinders removed from our eyes, and the Bible so much talks about that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That you can begin to see what is the hope of His calling. If you could just see what He sees. Do you see what I see? Sorry, I get paid better for preaching than singing, you know. But let's look at this story. In Genesis 24, we pick up this story. And it's about Abraham, where, as you know, in Genesis 12, that he is called out of the place where he's from. His father was, and he got to a certain place. Because God wanted to take Abraham into the promised land that He had for them. He didn't want them to be sojourners and tent dwellers, and all of that was okay, but He had a permanent place for them, a place they could call their own, a place they could build their houses, raise their families, grow their crops, and be risen up as a generation or as a nation that really honored God. So Abraham is in Canaan. So he sends back his servant to his own people in Genesis 12 again. He states where he came from. It was Mesopotamia. And he says, you know, I was from the city of Nahor. And he says, what I want you to do is, to his servant, he says, I want you to go back and I want you to choose a wife for my son. How would that be, young people? Your dad's got a mate. He sends him out there to find your wife. But this is how it was working. Because he said, he cannot marry a Canaanite. God has chosen us to create a new nation of people that are dedicated unto God. And he says, I don't want him to marry anybody of the place where I'm at, because God's going to do something greater. And we want to see him glorified in it. So he cannot marry a Canaanite. He says, bring my son a wife from where I'm from. He cannot go back there, Because if he goes back and starts to mix with family and friends and reconnects, he may want to stay there. So you've got to go there as a servant, choose a wife, this is a big task, and bring her back here. He can never go there. And it's amazing coincidence that happened. Do you like that word coincidence where you just say, whoa, that's a coincidence. Maybe it was a God coincidence. Thanks for the clap. But let's back up a little bit because in Genesis 24 and verse 7, this is what Abraham says to the servant. He says, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, Mesopotamia, and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and he swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. So Abraham, as you were, he was the spearhead that went into Canaan. And we know that many hundreds of years later, the children of Israel were led into Canaan under Joshua, and they possessed it and they stayed there as a nation. So this was in all the promise area, really as a nation that hadn't happened yet. Well, there was no nation of Israel. It was still in the formation. And the Lord of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. Then he says this, and he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my sons from there. Then the servant says, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. Verse 27. Because when the servant goes there, and I'll tell you the story in a moment, there's a miracle that happened. This is a point you got to hear. I just want to read this scripture again in its full context. Listen to this. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy, his promise, and his truth towards my master Abraham. And then he says, as for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. What did he do? He says, I was obedient to my master, and I just went back to the land of Mesopotamia, to Nahor. And I was just going there, just being in the way. And there, right in front of me, was what my master said to do. Isn't it amazing? He was just doing it, and then a God moment of connection happened. And I just believe in us just living for God every day, I believe that we're going to have God connections. We're going to run into things that you just kind of think, how did this happen? And it's all been under the plan of God. And this is what the servant prayed before he got there. He prayed this. He says, when I come into this town, may the woman I meet be the one. The first woman I meet, may it be the one. So he drives into town. Sorry, he rides in the town on his camels. He had 10 camels. He had all sorts of gifts. They call them dowry. Whatever. Because he believed he was going to find this right woman. And this is what he thought. When I come into this town, I'm going to stop at this well. And the first person who comes to me, I'm going to ask them for a drink. And if she says, I'll give you a drink, that'll be a sign to me. And he said, the second thing is, she says, not only will I give you a drink, I will water your 10 camels. And before he even got those words out of his lips, they were still in his mind, out trotted the girl, had his camels there, and he said, can I have a drink? Yep. And she says, I'll also look after your camels for you. What was this girl's name? Her name was Rebecca. Rebecca. And this is what she does. She draws water from the well to give to the servant. And then she says, I will look after your 10 camels. And you might say, oh, that's good. She gave the camels a drink. But she had to draw the water out of the well. Stay with me. A thirsty camel will drink 30 gallons or 120 liters in 15 minutes. So she did that times 1,200 liters, 300 gallons. Whereas for an older person, it's 6 44-gallon drums. Give me a drink, that's easy. But she went the extra mile. I'll look after your camels for you. So Abraham's servant thought, she is the one, but I need to meet the family. We've got to get this deal happening. So the servant repeats to her family what Abraham had said. And it happened that Rebekah actually was Abraham's niece. What are the chances? Now, don't get carried away. You cannot marry a niece. Not. It's okay then, not now. And Abraham, he didn't marry his niece. She was Abraham's niece, so his son married her. You know what I mean? Okay. So Abraham said to me, he's just repeating to Rebekah's family. He says, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper you in the way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. So the servant tells this to Rebekah's family. And they said, yep, she can go. But give us 10 days. The servant said, no, she's got to come now. This is urgent. And they said, okay, let it be Rebekah's choice. They brought Rebekah in. She said, no, I need to go now. So they released her and blessed her and sent her on her way. And when Isaac saw her, he said, oh, whoa, she is cool. And immediately he loved her. What an amazing story for Isaac, but what an amazing story for Rebekah, because she was probably thinking the same thing. Who am I going to marry? How's it all going to happen? But who knows what God's already got planned? And they lived happily ever after, as far as I know. Church, we've got to be aware of where we are. I just wonder what opportunities come to us and we think we're living the bee life and we don't grab hold of it because we say, oh, I'm not good enough for that, or I can't do that because, you know, if I was living the A life, it'd be different. We've got to be aware of where we are, not living for one day, because the day we live today prepares us for tomorrow, and the tomorrow we live prepares us for the next day. Each day is the preparation, and we look forward to making the full use of every day as we live it. Some people are talking too much. One day when I get married sorted out. One day when my kids do this. One day, and we're just saying, one day I'll be in the A grade space of life. We kind of look at our failings, our frustrations, and our inabilities, and we keep thinking, when I get better. And I know there are timings in God for the bigger issues. But I want to tell you, when God looks at you, He doesn't see your failures, your frustrations, and your inabilities. God does not see that way. He sees all of our possibilities. He sees the best in you. He knows the plans He's got for you. Not plans of calamity, but plans to give you a future and a hope. And the good news today, He works everything out for good to those who love God and to those that are fitting into the plan of God for their life. Good news. God sees more in us. You just imagine that you're sleeping and God is planning. You're just doing your work, but God's planning. You're just serving God, but God's planning. He sees you in the way He is. He sees you getting on with your life. He's seeing you living for God. He's seeing you put God first, and he's working, and he's planning, and he's getting things lined up so that you can walk into the paths that he has planned for each one of us. God, I want to know how to stand firm and know in whom I have believed and begin to trust you at a whole new level. But it's interesting to note that the people in the Bible that God highlights to show us their journey. Because you figure like Joseph, you got Jacob, and all different kind of dispositions and attitudes towards life. And I believe that what God is looking for, he's looking for a particular thing, your life. Looking for a particular thing in my life. And his will prevail. And I just wonder what that particular thing is maybe it's an attitude of surrender and being compliant that we can just make it a little bit easier for God to bless us. How can we do that? Maybe just be the best Christian you can become. Oh God, I don't know what is in the future. I don't know what your will is. Don't worry about what you don't know. Worry about what you do know. What you can do. Yeah, I can. I can share. I can love God. I can be kind. I can serve. I can do those things. And you will find as you just do the things that you know how to do, God will make pathways to create things that you cannot do. He wants us to be pliable in the directions of our life. Make it easy for God to bless you. I look at my life sometimes and I just think, poor God. Poor God having to deal with me. Kicking, screaming. Got my claws in the sand of time. You know that story where you talk about footprints? Sometimes you hear it in funerals, you look back in your life and all you'll see is one set of footprints as God has carried you. You look back and you'll see in the sands. But when you look back in my life, you won't see footprints. You'll see bum marks of me being dragged towards my destiny. Bum marks in the sand by John McMartin. But I don't want it to be like that. I just want, oh God, I just want to be pliable in your hands. Not insecure, unsure, but secure in I know in whom I have believed. Getting on with my career. I'm getting on with living for God. I'm getting on. I'll do part two next week, but I want to tell you this. There is no such thing as plan B. It's only plan A. You may have fallen off your horse. Get back on your horse. You may have got sidetracked. Get back on the track. It's no plan B. He's got no second-class citizens. He's just got you. He's got me made in the image and likeness of God. Oh, but I've been this and I've been that. Hey, we've all been something. He's got one plan for you, and that is for you to be more like Christ and fulfill the great plan and purpose that he has for us in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.